As the convener, I'm announcing this is the PNB's Governance Committee first meeting. We have not met prior to this, and this is going to establish tonight who are the interim chairs and the interim secretaries, and the interim or the agenda for tonight's meeting, and we're going to be open to any other discussions we have, people who might be able to give us information, specifically Julie Hewitt, who was on the governance committee and the chair, as I recall, of the last governance committee.
Okay. Please. I'm going to call, this is Teresa Allen, I'm going to call roll. Teresa Allen is present. Christine Avalos? I'm not hearing Christine. Verna Avery Brown?
Present.
Okay, thank you very much, Verna. Kaja Brown? Not hearing Kaja. Michael Chang has asked for an excuse absence. Violetta Diamond?
Here.
Thank you, Violetta. James Dingman?
Here.
Thank you, Jim. Fred Dodsworth?
Here, sir, ma'am.
Thank you very much, Fred. Anthony Fest?
Here.
Thank you very much, Anthony. Sally Gellert? Not hearing Sally. Jan Goodman, I believe, has asked for an excused absence. Nikki Hahn? Not hearing Nikki. Julia Hewitt, I believe you're non-voting. Are you present?
I'm here.
Thank you very much, Julie. Sean McPherson?
I am here.
Thank you very much, Sean. Tori Mercer?
Here.
Thank you, Mitch. Tori. Minerva Sanders?
Present.
Thank you very much, Minerva. Michael D. White? Not hearing Michael. And Susan Young?
Here, non-voting.
Non-voting, thank you very much. Okay, and to my knowledge, at this point, this is what the agenda is. Call to order and roll call. Approve agenda. Approve the minutes. And then something called TBD, to be determined, which is four. And five is next meeting. And I think that six should be adjourned. So... Mr. Chair, it's up to you to ask them if they would like to accept this agenda.
Would the parties present be willing to accept this agenda? Is there any objection?
No objection.
I'm raising.
Teresa Allen has an objection. Who else has an objection? Okay, Teresa Allen has an objection.
I would just like to add an amendment to the, or add something to the agenda.
Please, will you make your motion?
That is, I move that we select a pro tem chair and secretary immediately after approving this agenda.
Anybody want to second that?
Julie, but you don't have a second in committee.
Minerva seconded that.
And Mr. Chair, did you ask if there were any objections?
Are there any objections to this change to the agenda? Hearing none, it's so approved.
Mr. Chair, I have another motion.
Please.
Another. I'd like to add, as item number four on the agenda, that we take nominations for chair and secretary for this committee.
Do I hear a second?
It's Minerva. I second.
Do I hear any objections? Hearing no objections, we consider this moved and seconded and approved.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I'd like to make another addition.
Go ahead.
Been pondering over this. item number three on the original agenda was to approve the minutes. I don't believe we have any minutes from the previous governance that we've sent out to the members. But I've been told that someone might want to give a report as to the status of everything with the governance committee when as it wrapped up for the last year. Is that true?
I was told that as well. Julie Hewitt was on the governance. No, Julie Hewitt is declining.
Okay, so we have no report. Then I move that we remove the approval of the minutes from the agenda.
I think that's appropriate. Is there an objection? I need a second, actually. So somebody second it, please. I don't need a second. Okay. Wow.
You don't need a second in committee.
Thank you. So moved.
Okay. And then I have another motion. Item number four was called TBD, which is to be determined. I would say either we designate that as new business, or we say, I would say like to say this. I would like, which would now be item number six. I would like item number six to be that people send, their ideas for assignments or what they'd like to accomplish with this committee to the chair, which I guess at this point would be the chair pro tem, in advance of our next meeting. And that's how we would proceed. So I'm moving members on this committee send recommendations for assignments or the desired accomplishments for this committee that it be sent to the chair.
Does this need a second, folks? No, good. May I speak to this?
I'd like to motivate by saying one thing, that it would be good for us to all be on the same page as to what we accomplish and that this is the way I think and what we accomplish with this committee. And this is my idea of how we should start.
May I speak to this? We didn't hear you, Jim.
Put me on the stack on this issue.
Great. I'm not on the stack, so I'm going to say that Jim Dingman's on the stack, and you do that first, and then I'll speak afterwards.
All right. I think it'd be worthwhile to set up, if we're going to start recommending ideas and everything, that they be sent to everybody in this committee so we can see what people are thinking right now. That's only my opinion about this. I mean, you know, I'd rather just avoid, you know, bureaucracy, send it to the chair, then the chair distributes it. I'd rather everybody see what people are thinking. Thank you.
Okay. Teresa, please.
I agree with that. That's a good idea, and I would support that amendment.
Great. That means that everybody has to put together a list of everybody who's on the committee.
I would think, Mr. Chair, it means that you need to make sure that everybody on the committee has the list of who's on the committee with their email.
Okay, Otis, can I ask you if everybody on this committee has the same list you sent to me of emails and phone numbers?
Otis might not be on.
Okay, Otis is not here. Okay, I'm going to recognize Julie Hewitt.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with the sentiment of, you know, having, when people have ideas, to send it to everybody who's on the committee so that everybody sees the thinking all at the same time. What I think would also be super valuable, though, would be to have, like, one place where we track all those ideas so that people don't have to go back and, you know, look at, you know, 49 different emails to figure out, you know, all the ideas that people have put out there. And so I think it would just be, that's, I think, the value of having at least one person, you know, always be copied on something, or have somebody designated to be, you know, the person who, you know, even if it's a sloppy, messy document because stuff comes in a haphazard way, to like track all the ideas so that, you know, stuff doesn't fall through the cracks.
Minerva, you want to speak?
Yes, I do. And it's going with Julie's sentiment. I think on some of the other committees, what I've seen is there is a committee email that information goes to, as opposed to, I guess my part is I don't mind people having my email, but I'm seeing that a lot of emails are being co-opted, and you know, you're starting to get all kind of streams of things that don't even have anything to do with the committee. So I think we need a central place, and then it's just sent back out to everyone. And right now I would like to say, I don't feel that we want to see this committee starting out, you know, speaking as if someone's going to hold information and not share it with everyone. So if there's a general email that we can send to, then from there it goes out to everyone, would be the way I'd like to see it done. Thank you.
Jim, would you like to respond to that?
You're asking me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not really disagree. I mean, what's the main problem you have to face now? We lack money. And so governance to me, in some cases, is intriguing, but sure as hell not going to solve our lack of money. So I have to argue that I still think it's better that we share the ideas, because, you know, the strings you people talk about, you know, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to start, you know, reposting stuff if we decide not to within ourselves. But remember, we're dealing with literally thousands and thousands of people out there who at some point will want to hear what the ideas are being discussed. And, I just think that it's better for us to collectively be examining ideas right now in the midst of this, you know, awful financial crisis we're having to face right now as a network, which to me is much more important than anything else. Thank you.
Yeah, I'd like to respond to that and actually speak for a moment. This is the governance committee. I'm absolutely, totally focused on the need for additional sums and from all the stations and to grow our network, etc. I'm thinking that maybe between now and our next meeting, we could come up with a better form. I would like to ask if it's possible to get a Pacifica address for the governance committee, where we maybe even have a web page where we can look at all the ideas. I'd also like to note that Kaja Brown has joined us. Teresa, Kaja, can you say hello? So when you're here for the stream?
Hello.
Thank you. So I'm willing to take that responsibility until the next meeting, if that's okay with everybody. And at the next meeting, we can actually come up with a better solution, if that's what people want. Kaja, we're talking about, the idea of everybody speaking to what it is that they want to, well, let me just step back a little bit. Stephanie recently in one of the PNB meetings talked about task forces. And one of the things she talked about is the importance of a task force in terms of, having people responsible for particular tasks, so we don't have to spend 5 hours on these meetings, and that people would report back at the following meeting about what success they've had in looking at particular aspects of the bylaws and how they might be improved so that we can be successful, as Jim has mentioned. I just had the family step in, so I'm going to mute myself and ask them to be quiet. Sorry. So, my grandkids just came home. If that's a problem, I've got no problem not being responsible for that. We need to elect an interim secretary. We need to elect a permanent secretary. We need to elect an interim chair and a permanent chair. I'm going to go back to the list, though, because I see Verna Avery Brown and Teresa Allen have their hands up. Verna, can you speak?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just concerned. I want to ascertain whether this would be the final opportunity to contribute ideas.
No.
Or if that's going to be an ongoing opportunity.
Ongoing.
Okay, because I need to get my grounding, my founding with this committee.
So do I.
Okay. All right. That's fine. That's all I want. Thank you.
Teresa? Unmute.
Sorry, I'm not sure what we agreed upon. My motion was that people submit ideas to you,
yep.
And then the amendment was that we submit it to the whole group. And then Julie said something to the effect, it sounds like she wanted like Google groups or something. So I'd like to know what we've agreed on.
We haven't.
Okay. Well, does anybody have a specific proposal that we can vote on?
I propose that it be sent to me and that I will put together a Google group for this group, and I will make sure that every idea or thought is sent to me. And that is sent to me is put on that Google group. And then once the Google group is up, which should be probably tomorrow, I could probably do that, then it's all open. You're all capable of seeing everything in it. I've made many Google groups over the years.
Point of information. I know that there was a group on the finance committee, and you had to kind of be accepted, I think.
Yes.
So when you send us out, we need to respond, and then you'll accept us into the Google group, and that's how it gets started?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So that's the amendment. Fred Dobbs, that everyone should send their ideas to Fred Dobson, Dodsworth. They'll set up a Google group, and everyone should sign on to it.
That's the moment. You had a notification saying, please accept this membership. And then once you accept it, you're in charge of the Google group as well as anyone else.
Okay, so send ideas to Fred, who will set up a Google group, and everyone should respond to the invitation. Is that how you want? Okay. Okay, Mr. Chair, do you want to ask if there are any objections?
Are there any objections to what Teresa suggested?
Okay.
Hearing no objections, I move that that passes. What's next on the agenda, Teresa?
Mr. Chair, I think you would want to ask the group if they want to approve the minutes as amended.
Oh, okay. Folks?
I'm not mean, it's the agenda.
That is the agenda as amended. Is there any objection to approving it? Julie, I see your hand up.
Yeah, I just had a question. So I didn't want to report because I wasn't on the previous governance committee.
Okay.
But I did have a report, and I think that might have been the TBD item that was on the agenda. So TBD is not very clear, but it's kind of, you could call it a pep talk for why the governance committee needs to get started this year.
I'm quite welcome to hear that.
So five. So if I understand correctly, item number 3 is now select the program chair and secretary. Item number 4 is take nominations for chair and secretary. Item number 5 will be, okay. Item number 5 is new assignments, and then item number 6 will be a report. Julie is adding an item to the agenda, which will be number 6. To give a report.
That works for me.
I would support that. Mr. Chair, do you want to ask if people approve that?
I will ask if people, does anyone have any objection to us approving the minutes as they have, or the agenda as it has been designated at this stage of the game?
Mr. Chair, I think first of all, you need to ask if there are any objections to having another item added to the agenda, which would be a report by Julie.
Does anybody object to having the TBA be turned into Julie's report? No, good. By the way, we're an hour or 30 minutes in, so we're doing really well. That's now been approved. At this stage of the game, we now move to interim chair.
Now we need to ask if there are any other additions to the agenda. If not, we need to ask if we approve this agenda.
Are there any other additions to the agenda? Seeing none, I ask that we approve this agenda. Are there any objections to approving this agenda? Okay, hearing none, the agenda is approved. The next item on our agenda is selection of interim chair and interim secretary. And I have been given the generous offer that Teresa Allen will act as the interim secretary at this stage of the game. She does not want to do it permanently. She's made that very clear, but she will be the interim secretary for today's meeting. And are there any other nominations for interim secretary? Hearing none, can I say that we, by acclamation, we accept her as the interim secretary? Good. I'm willing to serve as interim chair, but I'm open to any nominations for an alternative.
Okay. And this is Minerva. I would like to nominate Fred Dodsworth to be the chair pro tem at this time.
I thank you, and I will accept that. Are there any other nominations for chair pro tem? Hearing none, we're going to say by acclamation. Okay, I think the next item on the agenda is that we take nominations for permanent secretary. Is that correct? And I would like to nominate Michael Chang. He's not able to be here tonight, but Michael is the secretary of the American Physical or Chemical Researchers Organization of over 3,000 members and is more than qualified to do this kind of work and has agreed to do it if accept him, but we're not going to make the vote today. I assume that we're going to vote over. What's that?
I was going to say, you know, we've whooped many a secretary.
I know.
Qualifications a lot. I'm sorry. I'm just in a silly mood.
And Teresa, I asked to be the permanent secretary. She said, absolutely not. So just so everybody is clear, are there any other nominations for secretary? And those, I assume that those can be sent to me and I'll add it to the list and we'll, if there are any other people that want to be secretary of this committee, if not, then I'm going to close the nominations. I see no hands raised. So, now I would, open the nominations for chair. Who wants to take on this?
I see
Teresa's hand and Jim's hand.
No.
Teresa, is your hand up?
No. Okay. I'm taking it.
Thank you. Jim, please.
Yeah. Could we hold off on the chair nomination? Because there's a lot of people here who don't know each other. There's each other all too well, but, there's people here who don't know each other and it's not going to kill us if we wait one meeting to, elect a permanent chair.
I certainly have no objection to that. Does anybody else object to that?
I do. I'd like to say something.
Teresa, please.
I think that unless you have no one, unless you have someone that expresses a willingness to be chair, that we should proceed. I mean, if there's no one else that offers their services, I'm assuming that Michael Chang does not want to be chair because he's offered to be secretary. So we have a few people that are not here, but I mean, I think if there's someone on the meeting, in the meeting that wants to be chair, they ought to state that. Otherwise, why hang back?
Okay. I see Minerva Sanders and I see, Vera. So Minerva, would you please speak?
Yes. And I'm going to take this opportunity to nominate Fred to be chair, if you'll accept the nomination.
I will accept the nomination somewhat reluctantly.
Thank you.
Yes. Verna Avery Brown, would you like to speak?
Well, I kind of agree with Jim that we should wait until more people are here. There's some absences here tonight as well. And I think those individuals would probably want to have a say or at least a vote in this. And as Jim said, I really don't know most of the people. I know a couple of people here have worked with in the past, but I would like to get a feel for some of the other individuals on the committee. So I don't see what harm it would do in waiting until next week or to the next meeting.
I have no objection to waiting till next week. I don't know that we're meeting next week.
Next meeting then. I'm
next
sorry.
Next meeting. But I have no objection to waiting till next meeting, as long as we agree to proceed. I'm going to assume that Michael Chang can come next meeting as the secretary, or should we assume that we're going to browbeat Teresa into doing that job?
No, you're not going to. No, I'm not going to. Chang can do it as secretary pro tem.
Okay.
If Verna and others still think that we should hold off on that position also.
Jim, do you think that we should hold off on that position as well?
Absolutely.
I
don't think so. I mean, you could do it.
Neither do I.
I just think that since some have articulated that this particular committee is turbocharged to work, I do think that the commissioners we're going to have to handle are going to be quite open. And, no, it's not going to happen.
Hey, Jim, you're breaking up. I can't hear a word you're saying.
I said, I'm not making that noise. Somebody else is. Am I coming in clear now?
Yes, you are now.
All right. Yeah. There's Michael's not here. Sally's not here. There's other people not here. And this committee, as I understand it, some folks were indicating to me they wanted to make this a very important committee, probably one of the most important committees we're going to be having this session of the PNB. So I do think that there's some monumental things to be discussed. And, I'm not objecting to Fred doing this, really. I mean, it's going to be a hell of a lot of work. But I just assume have other people involved here discussing this.
Julie, would you have something to say?
Yeah, just to be kind to the tellers, on the off chance that there actually has to be an election, it makes sense to do secretary and chair at the same time instead of going to the tellers once to have a secretary election and once for a chair election. So just that's my pitch.
And we work our way around that by me nominating Michael Chang as the interim secretary for the next meeting.
Seems like that would work to me.
Okay, then let me just ask if there's any objection to that. Seeing no objection, so moved. Okay, what's next on our agenda, Teresa?
Next item, I believe, is we added an item to the agenda, which was taking new assignments and that they be sent to the chair pro tem. It seems like we've covered that.
Yes.
So the next item would be a report by Julie Hewitt and then set next meeting and then adjourn.
Okay, before we do that, I want to speak a little more clearly about these responsibilities. As Jim has stated, there are a number of issues with the bylaws that need to be addressed, and the job is bigger than any one person can do and be effective. I am really looking for task force folks. I'm looking for people who want to take on particular responsibilities, like looking to see how we are in compliance with California regulations for nonprofits, how we are in terms of a number of bylaw changes that have been passed that have not been ratified, how we are in terms of bylaws that are conflicting or contradictory, and also what we might want to do to make us more, and this goes back to Jim's issue, more profitable in terms of our long-term success. And so that's what I'm looking for from people to take on particular tasks. You can work together with them. So if we get five people that want to work on one thing, so much the better. My idea is that these meetings should only be an hour, and they're going to start out every 2 weeks, but hopefully go to once a month. I really don't want to spend my whole life doing this. I would like to move the meetings to Thursday off the PNB schedule. So we meet on the days that the PNB doesn't meet on a Thursday so that we have the rest of our week free. And that's kind of what my goal is with all this. Jim, your hand's still up. I assume that's a residual hand.
No, I'm addressed what you're just raising, Fred.
Say what?
I want to address what you're talking about.
Please do.
Well, and Julie can chime in on this. One of the big problems we have is we don't have really an encyclopedia of the motions that have been passed in the past 20 years.
Precisely.
So there's no knowledge. I mean, people bring up and cherry pick whatever they want in terms of these motions whenever they want to prove a particular point. And sometimes they're contradictory a couple of years later. So there's no real compilation of all the motions passed since the inception of the new bylaws. So people can actually go and see, okay, what the hell's going on or what has gone on? And that's a difficulty. That's a tough, tough task. And Julie, I know, Julie had better address this because she's raised this several times. But, you know, this is a problem. One problem that needs to be solved.
Are you done?
I'm done.
I 100% agree with you. That's why I'm looking for people who want to take these on. This is really critical. Kaja, please.
Two things I'd be willing to help out with that research thing that you were just talking about. Is there a reason that you're just focused on California, or would you also need to know about the other states that Pacifica operates in?
Pacifica is a California corporation, as I understand it. And therefore, mm-hmm. all the regulations that have to apply to us are California-based. And that's the only reason I say that. I think it's kind of a little weird that we have an attorney in New York when, you know, our litigation happens in California, but there it is. I'm new here. I've only been here a year on the PNB, and I'm really hoping that I can be effective at bringing some clarity and cleanliness to our organization.
Okay. And then the other thing is I support moving it to a Thursday because I'm not going to be able to do Wednesdays.
Well, I'm totally on your team, brother. You and me both. Do I see any other hands? Okay, please send your, to me, send your ideas on what things you want to work on, and I will put them together in a Google group, and then I'll invite you all to be participating in that. I think we're now moving to Julie Hewitt's discussion about her long involvement with Pacifica's bylaws.
Yeah, thanks, Fred. So, one thing I wanted to start off with was the idea that, that this governance committee, if we want to, you know, propose some amendments to the bylaws, that we try to do that as early this year as we possibly can. And here's the explanation of why I think that matters. This 2024 is an election year, and 2025 will be an election year as well. And so that effectively means in both 2024 and 2025, the opportunity to get things done in a fair way happens in the first part of the year before anybody knows who's running, who might get elected, who did get elected, because the philosopher John Rawls came up with this idea of something called the veil of ignorance. And what it is you're behind the veil of ignorance when you don't know the outcome already, right? So think elections, you don't know who won. Once you pierce that veil of ignorance, you're more likely to vote based on what you think the outcomes are going to be like. Whereas before, so when you're behind the veil of ignorance, you're more likely to vote on things that are for principled reasons, et cetera, not because it's the outcome, but because it's the right thing to do. And so, you know, I would argue that we're going to get the best set of bylaws amendments that we can come up with because everybody's going to agree to them if we do it in the first half of this year. Right. And that's just because it's an election year. So that's one pitch for why we want to be productive and why we want to be, you know, productive soon. You know, Fred's kind of touched on a couple of the things, in terms of, you know, potential bylaws amendments. But, you know, one thing, so I, was never on the governance committee, since I've been on the PNB. I was on the PNB from 2021, 2022, and 2023. Now I'm the secretary, I'm not a director. But anyway, I wasn't on the governance committee, but one of the things that I can say that I observed is, that a lot of the thing that the previous couple of governance committees haven't gotten to the point where they were able to bring something to the PNB to say, hey, here's a set of, you know, bylaws amendments that we think we should be doing, et cetera. And so while I wasn't part of the governance committee conversation, so I don't know what kinds of things got brought up exactly, but nothing ever made it to the PNB. And so my, you know, sort of second pitch is, you know, for this group to work together to come up with something, you know, that you can really take to the PNB. You know, one of the things, you know, so also I was the chair of the PNB in 2022 and 2023. And I think one of the things that happens when you're the chair is because you have to run meetings, et cetera, and people raise bylaws questions all the time. And so you have to become familiar with the bylaws. And one of the things I did as chair was I just kept track of things that came up, issues, you know, and I just had this running file. And so that's one of the things I'm going to wind up sharing with Fred here by way of ideas, because there are a number of things that just don't work out so well with our bylaws. And sometimes it's inconsistencies in the bylaws where one part of the bylaws say one thing and another part of the bylaws seem to say something else, and you can't tell which part you should pay attention to. Of course, when that happens, it's the PNB as the, you know, body that makes policy decisions for the Pacifica Foundation. It's they're called to, you know, determine which way those kind of inconsistent bylaws should go. But one of the things that would be really nice is if we could take some of those inconsistencies and just remove them, you know, fix whatever it is that gets rid of those discrepancies in the bylaws. There are a couple ways in which our bylaws are just really outdated. They were drafted when the usual pattern was for the PNB to have at least one annual in-person meeting and maybe some other telephone meetings in between. And, you know, communications technology has advanced considerably since then. Our finances have deteriorated. And so now we rely solely on, you know, Zoom and telephone meetings. And one of the things where that matters is about things like how much in advance you have to give notice. There's some ways in which we say you have to give 30 days advance notice. Well, that matters when you're buying airplane tickets, but it doesn't matter for using Zoom, for example. This is just an example, right? And the other thing about, those kinds of meetings is, there are some things in our bylaws about how we take votes, that make our voting a little bit more cumbersome than it needs to be. And it's, you know, some of our tellers who have shared those kinds of points with me. And, you know, so we could streamline our voting a little bit. Like another example is, when the bylaws say you have to have a ballot to elect people to something, if you only have one candidate, you cannot elect that person by acclamation, because ballot means people actually have to write a ballot, right? So, you know, so that's another situation. You know, and I think Fred kind of hinted at this too. Since the bylaws that we have that we're now operating with were largely developed in 2003, and since that point in time, we've made some amendments to the bylaws, but we have never apparently made amendments that have to do with keeping up with changes in the California Corporations Code. And since the California state legislature takes a look at the Corporations Code and updates it every 3 years, you know, there's a bunch of cycles that we've missed. And, you know, we might need some legal advice about how to keep up with those, but that's another thing, you know, that we ought to do. You know, I think that also there were externally proposed, external as in not initiated by the PNB or the governance committee, but there were externally proposed bylaws overhauls that occurred in both 2020 and 2021. And I think it's fair to say that a lot of the factors that got people to thinking, oh, we need to overhaul the bylaws at Pacifica, a lot of those factors are still at play. And so one of the things that could happen just in terms of, you know, maybe forestalling another effort like that in the future, because those efforts, you know, have tended to be divisive, that one of the things we could do is maybe relieve some of that pressure, maybe not all of it, but some of it, by, you know, having a set of bylaws amendments that we can at least agree on, you know, some sort of consensus set of bylaws amendments. And then we can, as well, if the governance committee can agree on it, propose it to the PMB, and the PMB and LSBs can then vote on it. And as long as they're the kinds of bylaws amendments that don't require a vote of the membership, they can be made. If they're bylaws amendments that do require a vote of the membership, then it has to go to a vote of the membership, and there's some requirements in the bylaws that spell out the difference there. But if something has to go to a vote of the membership, what you want is a whole lot of singing kumbaya together so that, you know, it's the PMB as a whole, not one faction of the PMB is trying to convince the membership what to do, because then it just becomes a factional decision. Let's see, some other things. Oh, in 2021, there was a set of bylaws amendments that was proposed distinct from the bylaws overhaul amendments, the New Day amendments. There were four bylaws amendments that were proposed by Alex Steinberg, who was then the chair of the PNB. And, you know, as I mentioned a moment ago, one pathway to getting bylaw amendments passed, as long as they meet certain criteria, is that they're approved by the PNB, by a majority of the PNB, as well as a majority of three of the five LSBs, right? And so that's a much less costly way to have bylaws amendments than going to a vote of the membership, again, if it meets those requirements. Alex proposed four different bylaws amendments, and I think of them as a kind of surgical set of bylaws amendments. And out of those four, several of us realized that one of them did need to go to a vote of the membership. In other words, the LSBs and the PNB couldn't approve it, that it didn't meet that requirement. But the other three, for reasons I don't really remember what they are right now, didn't pass three of the five LSBs. And I think part of the reason why they didn't pass three of the five LSBs is because it didn't come to a vote at some of the LSBs. You know, it passed at some of the LSBs and passed at the PNB, but it didn't come to a vote at some of the LSBs, you know, again, for who cares what the reasons were. But so that set of bylaws amendments is also available for reconsideration. You know, and one of the things that I have thought about is, you know, we elect directors, we LSBs elect directors every year to the PNB. And, by electing directors to 1 year term every year and every director has to be reelected, you wind up with a PNB or a set of PNB directors who somewhat necessarily have a shorter run view than they would if their terms were a little bit longer. Okay, so now this is, in fact, exactly the kind of thing, I think, that does have to go to a vote of the membership, right? That's one of the requirements why you would have to go to a vote of the membership. But I just wanted to kind of lay this out at least a little bit, just principle of it, so that people could, you know, think about it and start chewing over this. But, you know, another consequence of the directors being elected every year is because of turnover on the LSBs, it is easily conceivable that our PNB could be half of the PNB is new people almost every year. And again, one of the things that does is that, you know, waters down institutional memory and makes it a little bit more difficult. Yes, it is possible for someone who, you know, if they're elected to two LSB terms, so for serve for a total of 6 years on their LSB, they could put together 5 years of being a director, but that seems to be somewhat rare. And so, you know, a lot of boards of directors have a setup that minimize turnover in the sense of you can't have as much as half the board turnover in any 1 year. Maybe only a third or a quarter of the board turns over from 1 year to the next. And it's partly because you give directors longer terms and you elect people and they kind of have these, you know, overlapping terms. And so that's one way to, you know, keep that institutional memory and that kind of continuity instead of, you know, having half the PNB be, you know, completely new from 1 year to the next. And so anyway, that's kind of a bunch of the, I didn't go into, you know, a lot of the other things that I've, you know, that are in my file that I've kept track of in terms of, you know, places where our bylaws are maybe a little bit inconsistent with each other or not particularly clear, or when we've bumped up against issues that, you know, somebody says, well, is that in the bylaws? And we look in the bylaws and it's not in the bylaws. And our bylaws say, well, where these bylaws don't tell you what to do, then you go to Robert's Rules and it's not in Robert's Rules either. And so, you know, some of those things are, you know, too mundane to bring up here. But that was just, you know, what I wanted to share with everyone in terms of why, you know, there's an opportunity here, really. And if we, to finish the thought about, you know, needing to get work done in the first half of the year, the year 2026 will be a year without any elections. And the problem is we don't want to wait until 2026 where we would have the full year, you know, cause that means none of these improvements get made for several years. And so, you know, until our finances improve significantly, you know, I think we can ill afford to, not do something reform our bylaws, even if the steps we take are small because they're, you know, the steps that we can get a consensus on. But anyway, that's what I wanted to share with everyone. Just some perspective that I have from having been the PNB chair. So thanks for this opportunity. And, you know, I hope, and I'm happy to share, you know, those ideas with Fred as part of the collection of joint ideas. And thanks everyone.
I really appreciate what you said, and I really look forward to it. And I was told that that is part of your actual professional responsibilities, is to help organizations do this.
Oh, well, no. What I do in my day job is I write regulations, and I think about behavioral response to regulations. I write regulations for the government. And bylaws are kind of like our own set of regulations for how we behave, right? And so in that sense, you know, it's kind of not surprising to me that I mastered the bylaws for my time as being chair. And, you know, that's the kind of stuff I like to do and the way I like to think, right? So, so I can't claim to have tons of experience with leading organizations through this, but nonetheless, the key thing
we'll take what we can get.
Yeah, there you go. And the key thing is to write bylaws in a way that they hang together, right? And I'm not saying we're starting from scratch and completely overhauling, but, you know, look for those inconsistencies and try to get rid of them, you know?
Okay.
And make it clear.
Tasha's hand was up and Minerva's hand is up and Jim's hand's up and Teresa's hand's up. I want to go to Kasia and Minerva because they haven't spoken as much. Kasia, did you have anything to say? You're muted.
The only thing I was going to mention was, it would be helpful for us to know where to get the bylaws and any proposals. And then the second thing, to what Julie was saying, one thing to be concerned about if we're potentially having half the PNB be new people every year is at some point that may trigger a necessity to report that to the FCC for all five stations. So just keep that in mind, because that's considered a change of owner.
Wow. there are a number of issues like that that need to be addressed. Minerva, you had your hand up again, so please speak.
Yes, I put my hand up, I take it down, but I have to say that on the governance committee, I served on it last year, but I always had questions as to what actually this committee does and how it is tied to the PMB and also how it interacts with the local station board, or does it? So, you know, to me, that's something that I think is real important, because I've heard of motions that have been put in place by the PNB that were never presented or introduced into the WPFW LSB for any comments, anything. So, you know, I just want to be sure that in working on this committee, that basically it's clear as to who does what to whom, with a very good understanding. And I have to put it in that frame because sometimes it's not clear and people take on the title of director and then they want to come and say, well, I can do this because I'm a PNB director. How do those interactions work? And so, you know, that's why I'm very excited about this committee, because I need to understand who we are and what we do. And I'll take my hand down.
Thank you. Jim, your hand was up, and then Teresa.
Yeah, am I coming in okay?
Yeah, fine.
All right, well, thank you, Julie. Those were all very interesting comments. I never wanted in the past to be on this committee because I felt that the main problem was how do we solve the amount of people listening to us. So that's, to me, one of the issues to raise. The bylaws were constructed as a reaction to the centralization of programming that occurred in the 1990s and the rebellion that emanated from that. So one of the problems with the bylaws is that they have essentially been depending on reinforcing localization of the stations, which is good and bad. And then we are then confronted with the kind of problems we have right now, such as in New York and in Los Angeles, where local grids have collapsed in terms of their ability to attract people. And in the essence of the bylaws, and certainly the kind of arguments have been going on for the past couple of weeks, the tends to be a, you know, is it really valid to go look at Plan A and B of Peter Frank, which then led to the Pacifica restructuring project, which then led to the New Days bylaws, which are a reaction, frankly, to our fiscal collapse for the past 25 years. So my problem all the time with governance is, how does that result in a practical situation solving the dilemmas we face fiscally? And one problem in this is that the bylaws don't ensconce the necessity for the foundation to be adopting new technology. We're still way behind the eight ball in terms of social media. We're still way behind the eight ball in terms of podcasting. And frankly, that should be in the bylaws, since we're a broadcasting institution. So I thank you on all these different great ideas, but whether they will, in the totality of them, aggregate and create the ability for stations to build their audiences by 2 to 3 to 4 times, that's where I have a problem with thinking that the bylaws being streamlined are going to be some great panacea, because I don't think they will be. They're no silver bullet. And that's, to me, always a dilemma in these debates.
Thank you. Teresa?
Well, I think there's a problem here. I don't think that most nonprofits or businesses have in their bylaws that they have to be innovative. I think it's a given. And I really do appreciate Julie's expertise. I would like to see what she said in writing, so we could actually follow that, or I think we ought to consider requesting that she lead us through this process as a non-voting member, maybe as a consultant or something, to give some sort of structure or plan as to how we move forward. You said that you were going to start a Google page. Is that correct, Fred?
Correct, a Google group. Everybody will be able to see. Julia's going to send me this stuff. I'm going to break it out and put it on the Google group. You know, this is just the first day, guys. We aren't going to solve anything today. But what we are going to do is set ourselves up to solve stuff in the course of our duty here. I would like to hear from Mac.
Let me ask a little bit further. So I'm asking, Julie, what do you see your relationship with this committee could be moving forward? Or do you have several options for us? Or do you think we're ready to fly on our own based upon what you just said? Because I'm sorry, I could not absorb much of it.
So two things. What I can do is kind of like give you all like some bullet points that are, you know, some of the things that I just said, right? I'm happy to do that. That's not hard to, you know, cause I wrote some bullet points for myself so that I would remember to make all the points I wanted to make. So I'm happy to share them with the entire committee. In terms of, you know, what I'm willing to do, you know, for this committee going forward, you know, like I said, one of the things I did was I kept this kind of document where, you know, just every time an issue would come up, I would just plop a little something in there, you know. And so, you know, what's going to be the case is, okay, it's from my point of view, right? Not everybody is going to love everything that I put on that list. Some of the things are going to be, you know, the fact that we don't really have in-person meetings and the way the, you know, bylaws were set up to be specific about meetings notice and stuff. It's going to be easy to find agreement how to change those things, right? I mean, cause it's relatively straightforward stuff. I'm not saying it'll be a slam dunk, but you know, there are some low hanging fruit that we can pick. And so one of the things I'm happy to do is kind of help people, you know, kind of help coordinate the conversation so that we figure out, what are those low-hanging fruit that everybody can agree to? And let's just get something done in terms of, you know, picking those low-hanging fruit. And then what you do is you start laying the groundwork for, you know, the stuff that's a little harder to reach, you know, trying to figure out how to get consensus on those things, right? And you work your way up to, you know, like I said, the sort of the bigger problems are, you know, and Jim, your points are well taken about, you know, what the foundation needs to do to stay current in terms of being, you know, holding broadcast licenses and making the best use of those, you know, but I think there are ways in which our governance structure holds us back, right? Because of this short-sightedness. And then just to answer, Minerva's question, now I'm going to read something from the bylaws that's really about, it's from the Article 8, Section 3, which is standing committees of the PNB, which the governance committee is. And so here's the blurb. A governance committee, which shall regularly review the foundation's bylaws and policies for governance of board activities. So that's what it tells. That's what our bylaws tell us that this committee is supposed to do. And so, you know, number one is review the bylaws. And I don't feel like that's been done systematically recently. And then the second thing is this policies for governance of board activities. And I think that goes back to the point, I don't remember who made it a bit ago, but you know, the fact that we need to have a catalog of all the, motions that the PNB has passed and a way to, you know, a way to catalog those and then to know which ones are still in effect. You know, maybe one of the things that can happen is, you know, you can, you know, if we have this whole list, we can give it to the PNB and say, you know, here are some old ones that, you know, really we should, rescind. One of the things, again, I work for the federal government. The president can sign executive orders. Executive orders have numbers. They didn't used to have numbers, but during the FDR administration, they were up to like, they were issuing a lot of executive orders, and somebody had the bright idea, oh, we should really number these things, and then we should have a dispositions table. And what the dispositions table does is every time a new executive order is passed, it gets a new number. and not passed. Every time the president writes a new executive order, it gets a new number. But many executive orders say things like this executive order rescinds that executive order. And so you can look at the dispositions table and you can tell, sure, this was written, but was it superseded by something else? And so that we need something akin to that for motions of the PNB. There probably are some motions from early on that we're still following because they still make sense, you know, and, you know, here's an example, the Emancipation Proclamation was an executive order that President Lincoln signed, right? I mean, and it was number 75. So, and we're up to like 14,000 something now. Sorry, go ahead. That was just my little history.
I want to actually hear from some people who haven't spoken yet. So I'm going to just call out people and ask them if they've got anything they want to say. And I'm going to start with Mac.
I don't really have much to offer beyond, hey, Julie. You know, I've been chairing some meetings and attended so many more, and the obstructionism of folks reciting some arcane bylaw and nobody knows what the hell they're talking about. And it's just a mess. I so much hope that we can clean that up.
I think we can. Violetta, can we hear from you, please?
I would just say that I appreciate what Julie laid on the table. And I, too, because I was on the committee last time, and it seemed like we were going in circles. And we did not, like, go through the Constitution in a thematic way. So I would look forward to doing that and hopefully for us to be able to do it where it's a somewhat neutral period earlier in the year. So
excellent.
That's my thoughts.
Thank you. Tori Mercer.
Let's see here. Trying to start the video. Yeah. So what Julie was talking about with, continuity in government, you know, there's a parallel in corporate America. So we don't have to reinvent the wheel here. I mean, it's called corporate memory. And, you know, so a lot of historians, people that I follow, they do a lot of their research in the bowels of these big corporations. And because some of them have records going back 200 years. And that's, you know, one of the main things about these big corporations is, you know, continuity. But, you know, they have a much narrower mission statement, make money for the investors. And, you know, you know, Pacific is all over the place, you know, with all kind of people with a lot of different, you know, interests. So, and then, you know, things change a lot. You know, I think what Fred was talking about is keeping a running document, you know, putting numbers on it, you know, some, you know, there's got to be some kind of archive somewhere. It shouldn't be just an email stream, that has, you know, a compilation of, you know, decisions that were made.
Excellent. Verna Avery Brown, can we hear from you, please? Anthony Fest. Can we hear from you, please?
Yeah, just really sitting and listening at the moment. Lots of ideas going by and waiting to see when things get somewhat more specific.
Excellent. Verna, are you here? Otherwise, I'm going to go to Jim. Jim, and then I want to move the agenda. So, Jim, please respond.
Well, one thing that has never been brought up. And that I experienced when I was involved with the old PNB was there was capacity building that the old PNB exercised. I'm talking about the pre-2000 PNB. So for example, they would bring trainers around to the different stations to do. I remember they had a guy who was in Maryland who worked at the University of Maryland, who's on the national board. He came around and did key group training. But what that raises is, it's one thing to govern. It's another thing to actually engage in the process of governance, which is not just simply issuing, you know, right on diktats, but actually doing something that creates greater capacity. And that means, figuring ways to, nationalize, production and radio training so that you can have online tutorials that, people can actually participate in the same way the BBC and NPR does. That should be part of governance. The anti-bullying training, the sex harassment training that, I know that if we're going to apply for the CPB, we have to do. Well, these are things that we should consider. And I know we don't have the resources to do it. That's what's always so frustrating. But, you know, things that actually create cohesion at the level of the producers in stations rather than division, that can actually, this is something worthwhile for you to do. Here's this organization that has this training that can build up capacity. And I don't have to tell you, if people are taking anti-bullying training, boy, that might make an interesting transformation on how some of these meetings are done. But I think that that's something to think about. Capacity building, not just, you know, the brilliance of 10 or 15 people, but actually affecting thousands. Thank you.
I love the idea. My wife actually runs those trainings. Verna Avery Brown, it's so nice to hear from you.
Yes. I was trying to get off mute. I don't know. So first of all, I 100% support the idea of having a very strategic approach to this. And I like the fact that Julie has given considerable thought and attention and work to how we might go about or to some of the inconsistencies in the bylaws that I think we've been living with these bylaws for, I don't know how many years. And of course there are, you know, we've learned things over the years that need to be tweaked and affected. And I think we should absolutely do that and maintain, the spirit of the original document. I have another question though. I know that, or I believe that we are not as a network eligible for CPB funding. And I'm not sure whether that would come under the purview of this governance committee or whether that would be a finance committee, issue. If someone could just answer that question.
It's a P&B issue and governance can do a great deal to help us get that place. I'm going to move the agenda at this stage of the game. So Teresa, what's next on our agenda? You're muted, Teresa.
Okay. I believe the next item is, to approve the next meeting.
Oh. Heather and I are both in agreement.
Let me ask you this question. We heard Julie's report. As I understand it, we have no motions, but she did agree that she was going to create bullet points for her report, which will be put on the Google page.
Yep.
No other motions came out of her report, correct?
I think what we're going to do is browbeat her into coming back and helping us other dates.
All right. Well, but that's not an official motion. So I would say the next item is set the next meeting and then adjourn.
I'm thrilled that we're getting this done quickly. I really want us to meet off cycle with the P&B. And Teresa, I think you looked that up and found,
Thursday, April 11th.
Is there any objection to us meeting Thursday, April 11th at 5:30?
I don't know if you want to, Anthony Fest here. You want to call this,
an objection. You muted yourself, Anthony.
Okay. I'm not sure the reason for switching from Wednesday to Thursday because for all we know, the PNB may start calling emergency meetings. So it meets every Thursday. So then
and I will fight that tooth and nail.
Okay, but if you don't prevail, then these committees have to move somewhere else. So I guess my question is, what's wrong with Wednesday?
Well, we didn't pick Wednesday. Wednesday was picked by Beth Van Gutten about a year and a half ago. She put in 24 or 55, whatever it was, meetings on the agenda, which we removed. The only reason we met today was because it was on the agenda and it doesn't work for me. It doesn't work for Kaja. I would much prefer to keep my time to the PNB to a schedule that is Thursdays. That's just my personal call. Everybody else has an opinion.
Oh, Fred.
Another thing too is we don't know what the preferences are of the members who aren't present this evening.
They're not here.
I know, so they don't have a voice.
That's a fact. They're not here. They were notified. Otis made sure they were notified, made sure that they opened their messages. You can't, it's the old adage about taking a horse to water. They will be notified now 2 weeks in advance of the next meeting, which may make it make easier for them to attend. This is entirely arbitrary that it's on Wednesdays.
Teresa Allen for the stack.
Please go ahead.
I move that we meet on Thursday, the 11th of April, and that we can decide at that meeting whether we want to continue with meetings on the second Thursday of the month?
That's what you said.
Yeah. Yes, second Thursday of the month.
I see Violetta Diamond's hand up. Go ahead, please speak, Violetta.
Okay, the 11th is okay. I just wanted to point out we have been meeting for a long time on Wednesdays, and it did work out for everybody's schedule, but I just wanted to bring that to, but it's a new committee too. So Wednesdays work better to me. I could carve out Thursday, and Fred, you're saying absolutely it won't work on Wednesdays for you, huh?
Well, it won't work absolutely for Kaja, and
Kaja.
I am very inclined to want to have it on Thursdays myself. That's just my own personal preference. I mean, cause...
Fred, why don't we just do it, play it by ear? We'll do it, I agree to do it on the 11th, and then we'll just be flexible about it afterwards.
That's fine. I'm not asking for anything other than the next meeting, my friend. we can change everything. You don't have to elect me chair. I don't really, I'm here to help.
And I'm going to let you guys know I'm going to go to Italy pretty soon. So I don't know if I'll be making phone calls from Italy.
Well, I'm going to Portugal. So maybe we'll see.
The motion is that we hold it on Thursday, the 11th of April at 8:30 Eastern. And that we will review the meeting date at that meeting. Put it on the agenda.
Great.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, and move to adjourn.
Hold tight.
Is there any objections to that?
No objection.
No objection. Julie?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You and I should email each other because to get all the goddamn motions together is going to be a very daunting task. And I'd be curious to see what might be an easy way to do that. Cause I think it's going to take a lot of hard work to do that.
I do too.
I do too.
All right.
I don't think one person can do it.
Hell no.
I think that's a divide and conquer kind of thing,
Kaja also volunteered to look into that.
Oh, Kaja, that's a lot of work, baby.
No, I volunteered to look at regulations in California.
Okay, that works for me. Can we adjourn?
I move that we adjourn.
I second that.
What a pleasant meeting, guys. Thank you so much.
It's 9:57 Eastern. We'll adjourn then.